and welcome to the Trotters for One inaugural podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And we are coming at you from Phnom Penh, Cambodia. We are sitting in our concrete row house, surrounded by Asian-style foam mattresses. wanted to just talk with you and get this thing started. What do you want? What do you say?
Hello and good evening.
Hello and good evening to you from Phnom Penh. We thought it'd be a good night. It's Friday night, and our boys are at a youth camp, and our girls are watching Pride and Prejudice, the BBC version. Yes. So we got lots of time. they asked if they had to stop dancing in the room above us because they like to dance during the dance scenes. Anyway, we thought that this session would just be a little bit of an intro, like who we were in our former lives, what an average day looks like, and maybe what tickles us. Does that sound all right to you, Elizabeth?
Sure.
So we're going to try to have this as a kind of conversation, and hopefully this will be the first of many. We've heard from some of you already through the Trotters for One Facebook page, trottersforone.com, or Instagram. And we would love to continue hearing from you. What would you like us to discuss? Elizabeth and I talk about stuff all the time. We just thought maybe it'd be fun to share some of those conversations with you. So that's one idea. Elizabeth, what would you say is your sort of vision or hope for a Trotters for One podcast?
Yeah, I want to talk about things that, well, maybe that we've written about before, but also things that we haven't had time to write about, things that are heavy on our hearts and important to us, but that just, you know, life happens and it takes a long time to write it all out, but maybe we can talk about it and talk it out faster.
All right. So, do apologize. We did buy a microphone for this. If you hear neighbor sounds or car sounds outside or banging or whatever, it's, like I said, we live in a row house in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, so we'll try our best. Does that sound good to you, Elizabeth?
Yep.
You think this is weird?
It could be fun.
So we hope that it's fun for the whole family. We're new at this, though, so we'll try. And we'll just try to have these conversations. So
fireside chats.
Okay. Going old school. So I thought it'd be fun if we started off with describing who we were. Elizabeth, how old were we when we met?
I was 14.
Okay. That's really young, and that sounds really strange. Elizabeth was 14, I was 15. We were best friends for 4 years.
Yeah, we knew each other about that long.
We weren't best friends. We did have a little bit of competition going on in our high school youth group. And then we fell in love and got married when we were 19 and 18. So I thought we could tell everybody who we were before then. So I'll go first.
Okay.
Are you good with that?
Uh-huh.
Elizabeth was the high school nerd. Voted like most, I don't know, voted most, not voted. I don't know. who loved math and chemistry, and so ended up doing chemical engineering. And then realized that chemical engineering involved pharmaceuticals and oil, but also a whole lot of chemistry and math. And so as someone who loved chemistry and math, it did fit. And then we got married, and you've been my best friend for a long, long time now. We've been married for 19 years, mm-hmm. Which has been loads of fun. So I don't know. Who were you before? You were an opinionated, and still are, but were too, an opinionated firebrand of a person who loved music and loved deep conversations and who hated dirt. And now you live in Asia, so in Cambodia. So you didn't like dirty things or bugs, and here we are. Mm. You were a girl who had a crush on me from early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, has kept your love for math and science and all things kind of geeky. I love it. So, I don't know. Anything you want to add to that about who you were?
No.
Does that sound right? Military kid?
Yeah.
You should say that.
Yeah.
You were a military kid.
Yeah, I was
kid.
A military kid. And we did a lot of youth ministry when we first got married for several years before moving overseas.
Yeah.
Never wrote.
No, never wrote. Writing was an accident. Sort of a cosmic joke. Yeah. All right. What do you think?
So I met Jonathan the same day he met me. And from the first time he opened his mouth and he said something wise in Bible class. That's when I knew I liked him. I thought, how wise. And I've been enjoying listening to his wisdom ever since. he's still the person I go to ask advice for when I get confused about stuff and want help with something. And we did kind of compete in high school. I think we wanted to prove to each other that we were as good as each other, because I thought he was better than me and he thought I was better than him.
I was homeschooled, and knowing Elizabeth caused me one time to go to the local bookstore and buy all of Shakespeare's books, plays, because I had never read any of them in our homeschool curriculum. That was sort of missing. And Elizabeth, this smart girl who I liked, knew all this stuff about Shakespeare. So I literally went and purchased all the books in the bookstore that were Shakespeare. I don't remember any of them, but I tried.
Yeah. So we always loved music and talked about music together. We even wrote some music together when we were in high school. And we were just friends. And then we got married about a year after we graduated from high school.
Yeah.
And started youth ministry on accident.
And we lived in a concrete box then, too.
Yes, we did. It was just much smaller.
A 600-square-foot married student apartment.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful, and the college tore it down because it was really old. Good times, good times. Mm. Oh, so maybe this was a good Friday evening.
Good activity. Memories, yeah.
Yeah? All right, that sounds good. How about average day?
Your average day?
Sure.
Okay, you get up.
Okay, not that detailed.
Well, you go have your alone time with God, and then we have our family devotional and our family breakfast. And then you get ready, and you go off and save the world. We joke about that anyway. And then you see clients, usually three or four a day, and then you come back to us, and we have a dinner and talk at the dinner table. That's fun, usually.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you exercise.
Sometimes.
Sometimes we go on a date.
Yeah. Sometimes I exercise. Sometimes I go buy ice cream. It depends on the day.
It does depend on the day.
Yeah. Wow. Probably not all of our podcast episodes will be so saccharine or sweet, but you know, when we start talking, it's just kind of happens sometimes. So I figure after 19 years, we're allowed a little bit. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. So Elizabeth's average day, I was going to use the Save the World line. You just do it a little bit more locally, like with our children. Elizabeth homeschools our four kids, so it's from two in high school. I guess one in high school, one in middle school, and then two in grade school. I was homeschooled too, so grades are always kind of a loose thing. I don't really ever know who's in what grade. I don't even know what grade I was ever in, or am in now. So you guys can't see this, but Elizabeth will probably roll her eyes at me quite often during this podcast, and that's okay. So Elizabeth gets up, just like me.
It's pretty hard to do. Yeah, you're right. Hardest thing I do all day.
Yeah, often. And then Elizabeth spends the bulk of her day, I don't know, eating bonbons and watching. Right. Yeah. People ask me if we homeschool, and I always correct them and say, no, we do not homeschool. Elizabeth homeschools because she does like 99% of the education and the sort of overwatch of various education. Homeschool co-op on one of the days and things like that. And then about half of a day you devote to a life overseas work. If you don't know, it's a blog for cross-cultural workers, alifeoverseas.com. And you spend, I don't know, maybe half a day a week kind of.
Trying to do that and other work, like my own writing.
Right, yeah. So well, that's the bulk of it. And then we go on dates sometimes, and you work out a lot more often than I do and eat much less ice cream. So I guess it fits. I guess it works out.
I need more endorphins.
Yeah. How about something that really tickles you? Not me. You bite my head off if I tickle you. But like, what's something in life that tickles, gets you tickled?
What in life? Oh, well, my sons. So we sit around the dinner table and we always sit in the same seats. And both of my sons, one is on either side of me. And they are both hilarious in different ways. And so I think my favorite thing is when they say something funny out of the blue. And I have to laugh so hard, I have to, like, slap them on the shoulder and, like, it's so funny. My daughters make me laugh, too, though. They say some really hilarious things. Usually it's in the course of the school day. Like, we're doing school and some difficulty arises and one of them says something really funny and really true and makes me laugh.
Yeah. That gets you tickled?
That tickles me.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same thing. Sometimes driving in the traffic here gets me... no, it doesn't. Occasionally, but more often than not, the thing that just that really gets me laughing would be our dinner table, because... I don't know, these kids, they just have got this sense of humor, and they quote things. We recently watched Napoleon Dynamite as a family, and so now our kids quote that all the time, and that's just hilarious. So after a hard day at work, a thing that gets me going often is a dinner conversation with the children. If it's just the two of us, it's not always that funny. But with the kids, man, that's hilarious. So, well, what kind of encouragement, Elizabeth, would you want to give the listener? I don't know if you guys are listening in another country. I don't know if you're in America or what. So we probably have a pretty broad audience here, and but I don't know, what if there's something that you could say sort of from your heart to the listeners, what would you say?
Well, I think that on my mind lately would be people going through a hard time. I went through a really hard time the last year and a half, and I've started to come out of it, and I feel like myself again, and it was a long process. But I would say to someone who's in a deep depression difficulty that I do believe that you can feel better. You can feel like yourself again. Because I think when we're in that deep, deep place, we think we'll never feel like ourselves again. Maybe you are a busy mom, little kids, you're new to motherhood and it's so overwhelming and you wonder when you'll ever feel like yourself again. And I think both those situations are really difficult and can make a person feel like they don't know themselves. And having been through both those experiences, I would just want... So I guess in some of that, I'm talking to women, but when talking about early motherhood. But I would just want you to hold on to hope and remember that you can feel like yourself again.
It's a big deal, huh? Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people who have maybe hope is slipping through their fingers, hope that they could be what they were once, or mm-hmm. or that they could recapture something that they had. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it takes work, but it's possible.
Oh, I will plug, if you are a lady listening, I will plug Elizabeth's book called Hats, Reflections on Life as a Wife, Mother, Homeschool Teacher, Missionary,
and more.
More. So that's on Amazon. It's called Hats by Elizabeth. As for me, encouragement, I don't know, something I've been mentioning with clients quite a bit recently, and something I think that a lot of people really sort of wrestle with is other people's emotions kind of becoming theirs, or other people's emotions seeping in and becoming your own. And a question that has been really helpful for a lot of folks is just a real simple one, that is asking yourself, whose emotion is this? So is this relative, and there's a little bit of enmeshment going on or something, but to just really pause and ask, whose emotion is this? And if it's another person's emotion, then let them have it. You don't have to take it on, because you may not be able to process it if it's not your emotion. But then if it is your emotion, the basics of sort of emotion coaching or dealing with emotions is to allow an emotion and then to label it as accurately as you can, and then to choose what you want to do with it. How do you want to respond to the emotion, to the specific emotion? So, yeah, those things have been very helpful for me and for somebody else. Whose emotion is this? And then if it's mine, or if it's yours, say, okay, well, what is it that I'm actually feeling? Okay, that's what I'm actually feeling. Now, how do I want to respond to that? So, I don't know, something that might be helpful for you. It's been helpful for me and a bunch of clients recently. So, I don't know. Does that make sense, Elizabeth?
It does.
All right. Final words?
I hope you have a good day.
Should we do this again?
Yeah, let's do it again.
All right, we'll try to do it again. And let us know what you think, or let us know what you would like to hear a conversation around. We will try to make this pretty low-key. I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, if something is worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. So I just really believe that. And we're going to try to just kind of plug away and do what we can. We'll try to make sure the sound quality is okay and works. If you have any feedback on that, let us know. I guess that's it. But we want to end. We'll probably do this regularly. We want to just wrap up with some truth that is worth remembering. It's a song called Spiritual Warfare Lullaby. We're just going to play a little bit of it. Spiritual Warfare Lullaby, you can find it on SoundCloud or on YouTube. It was written here in Cambodia on Russian Boulevard. 271, right outside of the Russian hospital. It's called Spiritual Warfare Lullaby, and this version is performed by a musician in Nashville named Hetty, H-E-T-T-Y. So it's a truth worth remembering. All right, go with God.